The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The status quo discourse says there is something fundamentally wrong with sex. We live in a world of conversations attempting to control the source human instinct, the power to procreate. Welcome to Sex and the Divine Design with your host, Mookie Okon. It is the original divine design that ensures the continuation of life. Get ready for an enlightened discussion. Now, here is Mookie Okon.
Welcome back to the latest edition of Sex and the Divine Design. I'm your host, Mookie Okon, also known as your orgasm's best friend, and you can visit me at www.thepussytalks.com for education, experiences, and much more. And now I finally made a Facebook page for Sex and the Divine Design, so you can go and like it on Facebook as well as the Voice America page. And please send the links for the show to your friends. So welcome to my guest today, Claire Flynn, and the talk is going to be based on intimate options. Now, Claire is an extraordinary woman and living proof of the power of the mind and vagina connection. She completely reconstructed her body and sexual anatomy through tapping into this power after a near-fatal motorcycle accident a few years ago. With tenacious commitment and experimentation, utilizing sex toys and other methods over a number of years, Claire reclaimed her orgasmic capacity and passion for sexual intimacy. Please read all about her story on her guest page. So welcome, Claire. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you, Mookie. I'm happy to be here.
And I'd love to let the listeners know where you are, because I'm sitting here in Phoenix, Arizona, and where are you?
I'm in Mandurah in WA, West Australia.
West Australia, and that's south of Perth for those people who want to look up where is Western Australia, and you're south of Perth, correct?
Yeah, it's about an hour south in a little fishing town, which is growing rapidly. Lots of water around it. It's a beautiful spot.
Well, I think it's an extraordinary place because Claire works as a sex and intimacy coach in her own successful practice, Intimate Options, empowering clients to overcome limiting beliefs and move forward into a loving, fulfilled life. So that's what I know you're all about, going beyond resignation, low expectations, and tapping into your natural power and open to what's possible. So, Claire, we had a two-hour conversation on the phone when I was in Australia, and I was completely moved by your journey and your story, and it's so important for women to know what's possible. So where would you like to start? I know you had an incredible accident, and there was all different stages of expectations about you living and dying and all that kind of thing, but What would you like to start at in regard to that?
In regard to that, it's more about when you get to a place, have an accident like I have, and all of a sudden you have lost the feeling of ever having an orgasm or the idea that you may never have it again. When you're healing, you're not. It wasn't a big concern to me at that stage, but it got to a place where I really wanted to learn more about my sexuality and how I can achieve orgasm again. And I didn't quite know how to do it through medical, through the doctors, the medical system didn't help me at all. So It was more about me connecting my own mind-vaginal connection, which I'm talking a lot about today, and how I achieved that, and to get that feeling back. Because when you've been, you know, 18 months without feeling from the waist down, and I realized a lot of it was blockages from a neuron pathway to the mind.
So that's so important for women to hear, that like after being numb from the waist down for 18 months, that you were able to reconnect up everything. So how did you start doing that?
I started doing it by just spending some time visualizing and remembering what it felt like to have an orgasm and putting myself back into that place. It's almost like I was pretending I had one again, even though I didn't feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So I put myself in an orgasmic place without actually feeling an orgasm itself.
And were you were you self-pleasuring then, like physically touching yourself, or you were just first visualizing as a first step?
I was touching myself as well.
Mm-hmm.
The visualization I did do initially as the first step, and then I was touching myself. After touching myself for a couple of hours and not achieving the actual orgasm, I would then stop and I would start going back into how I felt again and having a feeling of the orgasm rather than touching myself. Then I decided to use some vibration to see if the vibration would help as well.
Mm-hmm.
And the sex toys. And before my accident, I was sexual, but I wasn't really experimental much at all with toys or with anything else, so to speak. So it really opened my world to become more experimental with myself and start using different toys. So once I started using the vibration and external and internal toys, I put myself into a real feeling of orgasm without actually feeling the peak of an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just really feeling nice. It was a nice sensation. And I played with doing these techniques for 18 months. And it wasn't for 18 months till I really actually felt the physical feeling of the orgasm.
And so can I ask you then, so were you doing something daily to start feeling, you know, to start developing the sensations again? Or like how frequently? Because for women who haven't had that like physical type of trauma, it must be a lot easier to start utilizing like the practices that you did, you know, to start feeling more.
Yes, yes. The first 12 months I shut off totally. I just wasn't doing anything. I was, you know, I was just wanting to heal. I was wanting to walk again. I was wanting to do the basic things in life, the simple things, looking after the house, the children and so on. The 6 months after that, so going on from 12 months after the accident, is when I started really regularly, a few times a week, and then I got more into a daily practice as I started, you know, doing that. Because even after the 18 months, I had to obviously continue. So today, I continue as a daily practice. And it's now at a place where I don't really have to touch myself to feel orgasmic. It's just using that breath.
Beautiful, beautiful. And so I know there must be a lot of women who are attracted to your coaching. What are the things that what's turning up in your space in relationship to you know to women and numbness and all, and not being present in the body?
Yes. Yes, I'm having a lot of women turning up that are just totally disconnected from their sexuality in their marriages, where they say that the husband's more sexual than they are. And when I have a talk to them, they say, well, you are extremely sexual, but it's dormant. It's something you have repressed for so long. It's getting that flow happening again and getting their energy moving, their sexual energy moving as well, to feel orgasmic again and connect to that, the mind-vagina connection. And they realize after I work with them that they are extremely sexual. They've just been shut off for so long.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to share from Naomi Wolf's book called Vagina, because this describes in detail about the vagina and brain connection, and I think it, you know, will help the listeners understand that this is not just fantasy. We're not just making it up about the brain-vagina connection. So in her book, she says, the vulva, clitoris, and vagina are just the most superficial surfaces of what is really going on with us. The real activity is literally far and far more complexly under these tactile surfaces. The vulva, clitoris, and vagina are actually best understood as the surface of an ocean that's shot through with vibrant networks of underwater lightning, intricate and fragile, individually carried neural pathways. All these networks are continually sending their impulses to the spinal cord and brain, which then send new impulses back down through other fibers in the same nerves to produce the same effects. This dense set of neural pathways extends throughout the entire pelvis. This gorgeous, complicated netting of neural pathways is connected to your spinal cord and are continually lighting up, as neurologists put it, with electrical impulses, depending on what is happening to your clitoris, vulva, and vagina. So that's what she's discovered in the latest scientific research.
Yes, and it makes a lot of sense to me from working on self-pleasuring when I couldn't feel anything. I feel I've reconnected those pathways.
It certainly sounds like it. Yes.
Yes, and to get that orgasm back, because after speaking to doctors, because I was lacerated by a motorbike tank right through the middle of me, mm-hmm. which cut all the nerve endings. So even though the nerves are being cut, they're getting redirected again. So they sometimes they don't go back exactly the same as what they were, but they will. There is a pathway you can redirect them. So that's what I worked on, is redirecting the nerves back to the mind, so I could feel that sensation again. I also didn't have feeling on the whole right side of my body, from my under my armpit all the way down on the right. I worked on that as well. I've got all my feeling back except for my right foot at this stage, which I still feel that feeling will come back as well.
So it sounds like you intuitively knew exactly what to do.
Mm. Well, when you're laying flat on your back for 3 months in a hospital bed, and I was laying there, and the mindset I decided to use was that I'm in a 9-star hotel. And that mindset helped me as well to look at every positive aspect I possibly could to heal myself. Mm. And yeah, I had another lady, an older lady, next to me in a hospital bed, and she was laying there saying it was like she was in prison. And after hearing me for some time, she had a visitor right near the end, and the visitor said, so what is it like here? And she said, it's like a 9-star hotel.
So you're image making wherever you are.
Yeah, so I made sure when I was laying in the hospital bed, I had a sarong around me, and I was pretending I was sunbathing in broom.
Wow.
So I just put myself in a really nice frame of mind, and I just read lots of empowering and inspirational books. And I couldn't move for 3 months because the pelvis was smashed open. Mm-hmm. It had to set properly. So after they put all the pins and plates in, It was laying flat on the back for 3 months before I could sit up. And it wasn't till when I was there, I actually felt myself as well. And because I was lacerated in right in between, I'd swollen quite a lot. So my vagina wasn't even recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a scary thought then. I thought it was, you know, it was all over.
Yes.
And at first, and then I just went into absolute healing mode.
Well, that's so incredible. I mean, it just completely blows me away, like the commitment and power that you had, you know, like in focusing on what you focused on for healing and bringing that sexual pleasure back into your life. It's just extraordinary, Claire.
Yes, and, you know, I look back now and I thank every experience I've ever had in my life, and I look at that particular experience, and now I actually enjoy my own sexuality more than I ever have.
Mm.
And, you know, I don't feel the need to even have to externally find, you know, meet someone or have someone in my life for sex. I can be very happy on my own to pleasure myself.
And so when women come to see you, like, what are some of the typical things that are happening for them, you know, that are blocks for them that you come across?
Oh, one of the major ones, and it's a common one, is their block, their sexual block with antidepressants.
Oh, that's a huge, huge thing in the world, isn't it?
It is. You know, I talk to them and they tell me that their sex life died so many years ago, and I always find out, when did they start taking antidepressants? It was always around the time that their sexuality died to them. And I find that quite common. So there's a lot of women out there on antidepressants, and I think the doctors do give them away quite easily to women that just after they've had children. They might be going through baby blues and the doctor just wants them to go straight onto Prozac or one of the antidepressants, and then their sexuality
suffers
big time. And it's difficult enough for them having young children, let alone young children and antidepressants on top of that.
Now, how would you coach a woman who's in that situation that comes to you, who has been on antidepressants, on pharmaceuticals for a long period of time?
Right. I would coach her, I'll go through just a very general coaching session initially to find out more about where the core issue started. So I'd work a lot on childhood, more inner child. I do a little bit of inner child work with them as well. And I also ask them to work with their doctor, and as they are feeling better and more connected while they're working with me, that the doctor may be able to just help them taper down on antidepressants.
That's really important to have that, like, not go straight off the meds if you've been on them. And yeah, that's very wise that the woman would do that and have the physician involved in reducing.
That's right. So I ask her to work closely with her doctor with it as well. And it has to be very slowly, because as you know, women that have been on antidepressants for 10 years plus, even missing the tablet for a couple of hours can sometimes give them a side effect. And I've known women that have gone off them all of a sudden and they've had migraines, headaches, vomiting, been in bed for 2-3 days. And so it's really important that they do work with a team. So I'm there to guide.
Yes.
And there's also the rest of the team that they work with in other professions.
Well, it just shows how much like medications, when they're just applied across the board, can really contaminate one's own body chemistry, but even one's enthusiasm for life.
Definitely. I find the women, and it's almost one in two women I come across are on antidepressants or more, they are so numb, their emotions are so numb by the antidepressants, and everything is pushed down. It's like all their emotions, all their sexuality is totally repressed and pushed down. And I could even see, you know, a bomb could go off and I would sit there and go, oh, what was that? You know, it is a real numbing with the antidepressants. So that is a very common one with the women I work with.
Mm. And then so, like, how long would you typically work with a woman who's coming to you for your guidance?
Generally, I find six sessions has been extremely helpful. Some women, it's been three sessions and they're on their way. I had one client only call me yesterday, and she had one session with me last week, and she said, wow, Claire, she says, just that one session has made a huge difference. She said, I'm looking at my husband in a different light now. I'm looking at him for the man I married, not for the who he is right now. And so that's one session will definitely make a difference. But if there's anything ongoing and you want to get a little bit deeper into more core issues of childhood, I would say 3 to 6 sessions, it definitely makes a huge difference.
Well, it sounds like women who come to you, even just like meeting you and knowing what you've accomplished, could send someone home going, oh, wow, okay, what can I do here differently?
So
I can hear that you work a lot then with someone's really attitude and approach to themselves.
Yes, that's right. And a lot of the women that I'm working with also are women that are in business, and their lives are quite full. And in a way they become extremely masculine in their ways. And I think that also is what is repelling the intimacy in the relationship.
Yes. And it's sort of like we just get into that workaholic mode and switch off really even the pain that the physical body's going through, you know, through a workaholic lifestyle.
That's right. So. Yes, it's about slowing down and making that extra space for yourself and put yourself first, no matter what.
And now I understand that you just started, you've started appearing on a particular TV show in Australia just the other week.
Yes, it's called Sweet and Sour. It's a local Perth program. It's a show like Beauty and the Beast. I don't know if you have that over there in America, but Australians all know Beauty and the Beast. It's a panel show where questions come in and we answer questions on our own perception.
Mm. Oh, and so you're giving, you're inputting some good like sexual education onto the panel there.
Yes. Well, it's all the questions are different, but there hasn't been, I was on last Monday night, there wasn't a sexual question that came up then. It was a couple of relationship questions and also one about the Catholic Church, which I thought, okay, this is fantastic, and pedophilia. The show was fantastic, though. It went really well. So I'll be back on as a guest speaker in February and promoting a book as well.
And I've noticed, yeah, that there's a lot more, like, media people reaching out to you to share, like, your wisdom and your knowledge because it's so based on your practical experience. So what's a tip that you would give to the women who are listening right now to the program who are saying, oh, yeah, I don't feel like it. Yeah, what's the clear tip for saying I just don't feel like sex anymore, no matter what age they are?
Yes, and you do get that a lot, is women that don't feel like sex anymore. Well, you know, I do say to women that don't feel like sex to, you know, when I coach them, I'll go and find a time when they did actually enjoy sex and how they felt. So I was sort of my tip with that for them would be is look and sit and remember a time that was that you really enjoyed sex, and remember how you felt, remember how much you enjoyed it, and go back to that place and ask yourself, would you like to have that feeling again? And if you say yes, I'd like to have that feeling again, well, maybe look at adding in even some sex toys, self-pleasuring if you're on your own, or if you're with a partner, mix it up a little bit and bring something else into the bedroom. If it's a toy, it doesn't necessarily always have to be a toy, but a toy is just a good way to break the routine. So break the routine, because you're probably getting bored, and boredom also in of sex in a marriage is when women do shut off.
Yes, we need lots of variety. I mean, variety and spontaneity is how I like to describe it.
Yes, yes, and definitely the intimacy. I mean, women, I feel they're missing out on a lot of the intimacy too, and sex ends up being very just quick and mechanical.
Yep, just getting it over and done with kind of thing.
That's right, and a lot of the time they're just going, oh, hurry up, finish what you're doing, and they're there purely for him to please him and not themselves. And the other tip I would also say there to women is when you're having sex with your husband, your partner or whatever, is be 100% selfish in bed to make sure you get your orgasm first and you get looked after first. Because if you don't get what you need, he'll get what he needs and turn over and go to sleep, and you're still laying there wondering, what was that all for? I got nothing out of that. So I think it's important for women to really, make sure that they do get their satisfaction through the orgasm or the sexual intimacy needs that they need first.
And that's really almost like making an inventory herself, in her own time and space to really reflect on, well, what is it that I really enjoy, like what has me feeling the pleasure of my own body?
Yes, definitely. And I do come across a lot of women also that have never experienced an orgasm, and they could be in their 40s or 50s as well. They've been with a husband for 30 odd years that they've never had the orgasm before. So it is about getting to know their bodies again, getting to know how it actually works, what is going on with the clitoral on the external part of the orgasm, and also internally what's happening, and how they can achieve different types of orgasms.
Absolutely. Now we're going to explore that further after our break. So I want everyone to know how to contact Claire. Doesn't matter where you live in the world. Her email is info@intimateoptions, that's with an S, .com.au. And her current website is www.iamdivine, that's all one word, .intimateoptions.com.au. And I also want to remind you all that you can become a sponsor of this show and a contributor, a supporter of this show. If you're passionate about this education getting out there, there's over 200,000 people listening, downloading. You can go to iTunes, you can go to the Voice America Sex and Divine Design page. You can listen to it online anytime. You can download free MP3s and listen to iTunes. We want you to share it with all of your friends, please. And so the program can continue in 2030. I do need support from listeners just like you. So contact me at info@thepussytalks.com or call my executive producer, John Missel, at 480-294-6419. Right now you're tuned into Muki Yokan on Sex and the Divine Design with Claire Flynn, over there in Western Australia, and Intimate Options. We'll be back after the break. Mm-hmm.
the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Go to www.thepussytalks.com now for your programs and services. Begin your journey. Enrich your world and your sexual well-being. It's the shortcut to success, sexual energy mastery, and beyond. Do it now. Mookie is waiting for you. And if you want sexual well-being for humanity too, you're invited to contribute your unique skills to this private, nonprofit foundation. We need volunteers and interns for research, multimedia, admin, and more. Go to www.thepussytalks.com now. Humanity needs you. Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
You are listening to Sex and the Divine Design with Mookie Okon. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to info@thepussytalks.com. Now, back to Sex and the Divine Design.
Welcome back. This is your host, Mookie Okon, your orgasm's best friend, with Claire Flynn of Intimate Options. And I'm speaking to her. She's in Western Australia, on the west side of Australia, quite a ways away from Arizona. Mm-hmm. Now, to contact Claire, her email is info@intimateoptions.com.au. And before the break, we were starting to talk about, okay, women who come to see Claire who say that they don't have orgasms, and, you know, they could be middle-aged women, for instance. Hey, Claire, we just had a fabulous weekend program here in Phoenix. It was beautiful hours, just 9:30 a.m. till 5 on Saturday and Sunday with a group of women, and the program was Orgasm the Gift. And through your sharing, your healing journey with me, I was, you know, I shared a little bit about that to with the women in our circle. So you became like, okay, now Claire did this. All right, what can you do to expand and enhance your sexual experience? And one of the things that came up, and it's through the latest scientific research validating this, is the role of relaxation being key in a woman's arousal.
Yes.
And so with those women that you said who come to you, you know, who have not been orgasmic, how do you start them on the road to tapping into their natural orgasmic capacity?
The saying about relaxation, it is a huge one. And one, because I do some body work as well, and even getting the women on to the massage table and doing massages and putting them into that relaxed state with sound therapy music I use, and get them back into knowing and feeling their body through massage. And that sometimes helps them relax even before I do a coaching session.
Because a lot of women have never had a massage. I'm like shocked when a woman says, I've never had a massage in my life, because that's a beautiful gift to give to oneself on a regular basis.
It is, Mookie. It's, I find, because I do a few massages a week, and I tend to have male regular clients that come to me every week. The women, there's not many women. The women come through coaching. So when they sign up for coaching, then I take them into the massage room. With men, they'll come through massage, and then I'll take them into coaching.
Oh, yeah, I see. That's good. That's good. And,
yeah.
And I know, like, the massage for a woman must really, well, it helps us to feel, like, all of our body, yeah? Is that the thing that happens for some of your clients, the women clients?
That's right. And I'll use a lot of props as well. I'll use feathers, I'll use silks, I'll use different things just to stimulate the skin and let them know that this is our largest organ on our body. And stimulating the skin is getting us aroused again, feeling more connected to our sexuality. Mm. And I think that is a big part of it. So the relaxation part that you said with the stimulation of the skin, and then, you know, when they can, and then even the vibration, which I will recommend certain things for them to use to take home and practice.
Yes. Now, you shared that that was a turning point for you in your healing when you started to use vibration. Mm. So for a lot of women, they've never used vibration, for instance, to explore sensation. And I know that you're actually an expert on non-toxic sex toys.
That's right. That's right. It's a big eye opener for a lot of people here I speak to. I'm also training people at some of the sex stores here on how to sell sex toys and educate customers when they come in. There isn't any regulations in Australia, and I don't know about America, but there isn't any regulations on what sex toys are made from. And one of the main chemicals in sex toys is sulfates, which was also in children's toys many years ago, and they took the sulfates out of children's toys because children were getting sick by sucking on it.
And what is it called again?
The sulfate.
So, how do you spell it?
Okay, P-H... now I can't remember. P-H-A-L-A-T-E-S, I think.
Okay, okay.
It's the sulfates, yes. And that toxin was making children sick, and that's a toxin in so many sex toys that we're using inside ourselves.
And so does it got a really strong smell as well, like a chemical smell, or you wouldn't detect it? Or?
Some you don't detect. Mm-hmm. But generally, when with vibrators themselves, you've got your 100% silicon, which is a healthy, non-toxic vibrator to use.
Made out of silicon?
Yeah, 100%.
100%.
You need 100% silicon. If it's silicon coated, there's toxins in the coating of the toy.
Are they labeled? Like, can you tell by reading on the box or something? Or?
Not always. Sometimes they are. A lot of cheap toys that come from China, you'd have no idea what they're made out of. And they are linked to a lot of vaginal infections. And I've even read up that there has been links to vaginal cancers through some of those toxic toys as well. So it is something that really needs to be informed to women, to know about how to buy sex toys.
Do you sell the non-toxic ones, or like how would you? So you'd actually need to find a place that has 100% silicon vibrators and so forth.
That's right. So there isn't a lot, I don't think, that just do or non-toxic toys. Mm-hmm. It's really about knowing. When you go into a sex shop, I could go in there and throw 3/4 of the toys out.
Really?
Yeah, but what I do is when I'm in the sex shop, I'll let customers know that the sex toy that is toxic that they do sell, if you want to keep safe by buying a cheap toy, just use a condom over the toy.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea anyway. Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. So if they're going to buy a non-toxic toy, a toxic toy, put a condom on it. If you're allergic to latex, get the latex-free condom.
That's attractive. It is. You got to buy a toxic sex toy.
Yeah.
This is how you can redeem
right.
it.
That's right. But generally, 9 out of 10 women I mention that to will spend an extra $100 and buy a better quality toy.
Well, I mean, I didn't know about that specific chemical, and that's important education for women. Now, you mentioned also that through some of the healing work that you do, that there's a specific glass sex toy that you use. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yes. As I became experimental, I wanted to know more about the G-spot and female ejaculation and how that worked and if I could manage to achieve that myself. And so I I got the glass toy, and a lot of women see a glass toy, or I show them a glass toy, and I go, oh, I'm not putting that inside me, it's glass. the glass toy, when it's smooth, it actually feels soft inside. And they're a beautiful toy. You can warm them up or you can cool them down as well and have a couple of different sensations from it. But what I do is your G-spot is within 2 inches inside the vagina up against the front wall.
Now you're going to find out when you come to the programs next year that it depends on your anatomy type, but continue on.
Yes. So what I ask women to do is use the toy on the G-spot area. So when they feel the rough area.
Yeah.
And I look at a G-spot as an area, not a spot, because it can be quite large.
Exactly.
It's quite a large area. And it's a bit of tough skin as well. So the glass toy, when it's shaped for a G-spot, so it bends around to the G-spot area.
So it's got a little tip pointing upwards, right?
Yeah, it can have a little tip, or it can have even a larger ball on the end.
Okay.
As well, so it's really, it doesn't really matter too much about the size of it.
But it's pointing up, that's what women need to know, it's pointing up.
that's right, it is. It's pointing to the G-spot area, and it's just knocking on that area, that G-spot area, because that skin is quite a tough bit of skin, knocking on that, and behind your urethra, which where the fluid sits.
Yes.
So when women have sex, they tend to have a sensation that they're going to urinate, and that's what they think they'll be doing. So I let them know that, you know, you won't urinate. This is the feeling you get for ejaculation. So it's, once again, it's connecting your mind to the feeling that you're receiving and going with it, because as soon as you think of something else, you're just going to lose that orgasm.
Yes, so I would describe it as being with the feeling that is and not focusing on what you're not feeling.
That's right, exactly. And it's very, so many women get concerned that they're going to either urinate while they're having sex and they're going to be embarrassed by it, or I'm not meant to have this feeling, so I'll quickly think of something else. Go with the feeling and enjoy it for what it is. So it's just another type of orgasm. But what I've also found through that orgasm, through ejaculation itself, you can ejaculate as a woman without actually having an orgasm.
Mm-hmm.
And I've experienced that myself as well. And then you can also ejaculate with quite a different orgasm.
And I would say so, even when you're ejaculating, when there isn't a orgasmic feeling, that it's still a highly aroused state, would you say?
It is a highly aroused state, and it is actually quite just a nice sensation of relief. It's almost
yes.
like a relief without the actual orgasm.
Well, when women ask me about, oh, how do you ejaculate? Because in a way, also, it's become like a performance thing. Oh, my God, I want to ejaculate. I always just say, well, you just surrender, just to the feeling of pleasure.
Yes, totally let go.
Yes.
Let go and let it be.
Now, when you do coaching, do you do a lot of coaching with couples or some coaching with couples as well?
I'm getting more couples inquiring now. I've done a lot of one-on-one mm-hmm. with married women and married men, but they haven't come together. But I've got a couple I'm working with now, and I've been working with him first, and he came in through massage. Like I was saying before, the men seem to come in through massage, then coaching, the women come through coaching, then to massage. I've been working with him, and now he's bringing his wife into it. And his wife, I will be coaching one-on-one on her own first, and then I'll be bringing both of them together.
Yeah, that seems to be a valuable approach where each part of the couple can feel free to express themselves and have very specific coaching, because it is quite different for a man and a woman.
Yes. Yeah, very different, very different. And, you know, with this particular couple I'm working with at the moment, they're both in their 60s. And, you know, like attracts like, as we know. And he's never been sexually interested at all. He goes back to, he was brought up in the Catholic Church and it was very taboo and self-pleasuring, you don't do that. You purely have sex for procreation. So in his 30 years of marriage, he's very rarely had sex. His wife never was interested in sex either. And he said he could count on his hands how many times he's had sex in 30 years.
I think that's probably more common than we imagine, really, that type of situation.
Yes, yes. I would say so as well. And it's just a lot to keep it to themselves.
So they're fortunate to have found you because it's never too late.
No.
To wake everything up.
That's right. So with him, I'm just doing everything very slowly, step by step, and he's starting to feel more aroused within himself. He's letting his wife know the work I'm doing with him. She's informed with every step, but so he's communicating with her. And now he's talked her to coming because she was more shut off than even he was. So I see her for the first time next week.
Beautiful. Mm-hmm. And now what's your vision that you see, you know, with the work that you're doing and the journey, the journey that you're on and the sharing, you know, and teaching and coaching that you're doing? What do you see as your vision?
Oh, well, my vision is really quite broad. My vision is to be able to educate and inform groups of women globally and be able to get my message out there to a diverse range of people. The vision would be, the toy side of it. I've got so many sort of areas I'm working with. I've got the toy side of it where I'm wanting to train up people, more women and even men, you know, if men want to do it, to get out there and educate and spread the word as well. So I know that it's not something I can do purely on my own. It's more about working with and collaborating with the collective as well.
Yeah, the world is a big, big place. We certainly can't do it by ourselves these days.
It certainly is. So my vision is it's huge, and it really is huge, and it's just knowing that, you know, working with like-minded people around me is what is going to make a difference with the vision. So it's really about, people, working with men and women, but I can see myself actually working a lot with groups of men as well.
And okay. I think also, like, using, like, the media, where, like, whatever media that is available is certainly also an excellent, excellent resource in this day and age too.
It is, and I'm finding a lot of people contacting me that are involved in media and magazines and wanting me to get the word out there. And the more of the help with the media is what is going to open up people's worlds a lot more. So it's really about helping more and more people become so sexually liberated and expressed in themselves. And the social media to, you know, your magazines, TV shows are a fantastic way to get the message out there. I am sort of, after being on Sweet and Sour last week, I'm very keen to do more TV presenting as well in the future.
So what you need is all those people out there who have contacts in TV to contact you so you can be on the TV and share your education, your wisdom and your knowledge.
That's right. Yes. Yes, and that...
Go on.
Yes, no, I was going to say that to be more in the public through media is going to reach more people, and that's what my vision is to reach as many people as I can, women, men, couples, singles, and spread the message.
And so what's 3 tips that you would give to men to be able to support the women in their life to start enjoying the physical more and to be able to become more open and connected?
Okay. Well, the tips to men, it really comes down to the intimacy with the woman. I look at the male as the microwave and the woman as the crock pot, so she takes a lot longer.
That's why I haven't heard that one. So the men are the microwave, woman are the crock pot, the pot that sits inside.
That's right, or the slow cooker, however you want to call it. And the message to men is to work with her 24/7 and do the little things. It always comes down to simplicity in the little things that you do for women that make all the difference in the relationship. So if a male wants to have sex that night, start in the morning and your sex life would be a lot better and you may have sex that night. So, yeah, I really would put that down to a lot of intimacy and work with the little things, the basic things, because that's what women really want.
Yeah, and so it's like having lots of touch outside of the bedroom.
Yeah, touch outside the bedroom. So it might be even, you know, a text message. It could be anything small that he's there, she knows he's there, and he's thinking of her.
So he could be using his erotic intelligence, especially with modern technology, here and there throughout a period of time, could be even be over days perhaps, where he's creating an arousing space even without physical presence, shall we say.
That's right. That's right. He doesn't physically have to be there at all to create that. And, you know, you could even look at it energetically. She could even pick up on how he's feeling. He could feel a certain way during the day about her, think about her, and energetically she would feel that as well.
Oh, so maybe they could do something like, okay, say their lunch breaks at 12, you know, at 12 noon. They could have an agreement, okay, at 12 noon and have something that they're going to image together even though they're in different locations.
Yes, yes, they can do a little bit of telepathy with each other.
Yes, so that would develop that connection,
yes.
Wouldn't it?
It certainly does. And it's a great, you're spot on too, just working out a time where you both do it, and you can talk about it later and say, so what were you feeling or thinking at 12 o'clock? And you can, that's a great way to do it.
Yeah, because I've met quite a few, I have met some couples who seem to be connected in that way, and it's just a spontaneous thing that they've discovered. And so I'm sure that, you know, if you have the resource of a partner, which is a gift,
yes,
it's certainly something to cultivate together.
That's right. That's right. And it's another extreme part of that connection. So you can be still connected with that person if they're on the other side of the world. They could be in Arizona and Mandra.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. Because it's all energy. It's all energy. And, you know, you've shown that the mind and your thoughts, they are energy that creates a specific effect. I mean, that's the most incredible thing about your journey, Claire.
That's right. That's right. Yes.
So do you have any parting thoughts you would like to share with the listeners?
Look, I think most of all, if the listeners are men or women, for women to really put themselves first in their relationship. And because what I find too is many women put the children first, the husband second, and then themselves last. I really want women to look at themselves and find the self-love as well. So sexuality, self-love are all connected to who you are. And put yourself first, and then your husband and your children are going to be fine. And it's just changing the order. Sometimes we just need to change the order of how we do things. So, so that's what I'd like to sort of share with women today. And
that's beautiful.
Integrating their relationship as well as their sexuality. Cause, you know, sex is a very important part, but if we work on the sex first, the relationship will also start communicating more and coming together. But I think it's a really important thing for the woman. Put yourself first, then your husband, be the queen, the king of the house, and the children are just going to love it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because when the queen is happy, everyone is happy.
Well, that is right.
Now, I need to let you know that if you've enjoyed Claire's wisdom, you can contact Claire, and please do, at info@intimateoptions.com.au. And her current website, the new one is coming, is www.iamdivine.intimateoptions.com.au. And you can go to Claire's guest page at My Voice America Sex and Divine Design page and read her full story there, and all of her contact information is there too. And we want you to listen to the show online anytime and download it and share with your friends. I mean, it was such an honor that Claire was able to like hook up at the right time and everything for her to be on the show. So please do that. And we're just about out of time, Claire. I just can't believe how quickly it goes.
So,
so I want to let people know that you can also contact me at info@thepussytalks.com. I need multimedia geeks and funding for enhancing sexual well-being. That's contributing and sponsoring this program, Sex and the Divine Design, so it can continue into 2013 and reach more and more people. I mean, we have over 200,000 people accessing the show at the moment. Oh, and I love to finish with my quote. Oh, we're nearly out of time. So here's a quote from Thunder Strikes in the Four to the Sexual Practices of Kudoshka. When you're able to experience high levels of orgasmic pleasure, you feel content with your place in the universe. You become more creative, more awake, aware, and alert. You have the energy to make things happen, and your whole world changes into a better way of living.
Thank you again for tuning in. Please join Mookie Okon for another edition of Sex and the Divine Design next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. We'll see you here next week.